Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the grin the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too. You love this podcast too.
All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Check us out at MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWCConnection. Jeremy Moss here, not with Chris, hanging out with Matt Kennerly here. So say hello to the folks.
Hey, glad to be here again.
Yes, Matt fills in every now and then because Chris is too busy for us, I guess, so we can also make fun of him if we want since he's not
he's
here.
He's doing that education thing. What a loser.
Yeah, he's trying to be a teacher of some sort, yeah. But yeah, it's you and Matt, and be kind to Fresno State this evening in the comments, or I'll try to be kind as well.
Come on, I'm not a delicate flower. I can.
Your team's terrible. No. We'll talk about Fresno right now, because before the season, I think that, like, the media poll, I think they're kind of duped. Did you expect Fresno to be, should have been the West preseason champion?
Well, I mean, I had, up until the end of fall camp, I had San Diego State slightly ahead of Fresno State, but everything I was reading and everything that I saw coming out of fall camp led me to believe that the dual quarterback system was just crazy enough to work, and that really just hasn't been the case. I feel a little bit duped, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised because, you know, the old adage, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none, you know?
Yes. I kind of changed. I sneak in throughout the offseason, okay, it's Fresno, they'll be fine. Then I started thinking about it more. Tim DeRuiter's a defensive coach at Air Force, at Texas A&M. He comes over, does amazing things with Dave Schramm from Utah to be their OC. Got great talent. I was thinking, well, I went to the Phil Steele. So I'm like, what does Phil Steele have to say about, like, all his numbers and stuff? So I'm like, returning offense, 30%. And they have five players in the NFL at that offense.
And yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was unreasonable to expect that, you know, someone who didn't get a lot of playing time last year could step up and maybe not, you know, put up 20 touchdowns like Devontae Adams did. But I thought there were at least a couple of guys on the roster who were capable of putting up 1,000 yards. You know, guys like Aaron Peck and, you know, Josh Harper is obviously around. They just haven't had the opportunities to really get the ball yet.
Yeah, I think part of it, because I'm looking through, I'm like, did I change my prediction, San Diego State? But it just seems odd. The media overwhelmingly chose Fresno, well, not overwhelmingly, but a good amount. I think they both split first place votes. But then I go, oh, let's do my bold prediction. I was kind of half kidding at 6-6. That's a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you unless they get this quarterback situation figured out sooner rather than later, which
they don't.
It doesn't look like it, no.
No, we'll get to Fresno. Which one to? We'll to talk a bunch about that later. But it'll be interesting what they can do the rest of the way, and against Nebraska. So as we go through its chronological order, Boise State versus UConn, noon Eastern, ABC, ESPN2, the reverse mirror. So check your local listings, folks, to where the game's at. UConn's a mess. They don't have their starting quarterback, who has I would love to see UConn versus Nevada because it'd be dueling mullets on the field. But have you seen the he's no the quarterback, he too many concussions. He I'm forget his name at the moment, but he's out because of high school concussions, a couple this year.
Actually, relatively breaking news. Apparently, a couple hours ago, or maybe it was a couple days ago. I'm looking at Google News. He's retired because of his concussion problem. Casey Cochran.
Yes, Casey Cochran. Yeah, that's what he was out for, concussion. But it'd be nice to see a mullet versus mullet if they play Nevada. Because he's pretty close to Brock Hecking there. Yeah, I remember reading something about the other day, but he's out the starting quarterback. Not that he was great by any means. And it does kind of suck. You got to retire and can't play the sport you're pretty good at and like to play, especially brain injuries. All the CT stuff's pretty, it's not good, at least to say. But also, as to the game itself, there's a reason Boise's favored quite handily in this game, and as they should be. They are 16. That's a lot, man. Road favorite by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to catch a little bit of their game, Connecticut's game against BYU, and they did not look good at all. I don't know just how good BYU is this year, but, you know, last week they struggled to beat Stony Brook. I happened to watch a little bit of that on ESPN3 as well. And this team just kind of looks like a mess. You know, Chandler Whitmer, who's the guy who's going to be under center now that Coughlin is retired. Maybe you could call him the American Conference's Nick Sherry.
Wait, is he wide receiver?
He's in the sense that he had one pretty decent year and then got replaced last year because of the ineffectiveness.
Oh, wait, that's Caleb Herring, excuse me. He got replaced by, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now that he's the guy, you know, last week against Stony Brook, an FCS team, 44.4% completion percentage, 5.3 yards per attempt. That's not going to get it done against a pretty good Boise defense.
However, that is the Boise's weakness. If I said, I was on a Boise radio station the other day, everything looks strong for them. Jay Ajayi, the wrinkles in the offense, the passing game, defensive front. Their secondary is, I don't want to say awful because they picked up Bo Wallace 3 times, but it could be had for a lot of yards. But again, if you're throwing 44% against Stony Brook and they're a bad FCS team, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, Connecticut's got one guy where it looks like if they could shut him down, Boise shouldn't have a lot of trouble handling the Huskies. Jeremy Davis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got their only receiving touchdown so far.
Ooh.
He's averaged 16 yards a catch, which is, you know, not bad.
That's pretty good, yeah. And I saw that game when they played BYU. BYU just, there was too many penalties by both teams. The first half, Taysom Hill, he's getting better at throwing the ball, but he's still not. I'd still say Grant Hendrick's a better passer for the most part. But BYU's offense just destroyed. In the first half, they ran up and down the field. And if you have Taysom Hill can run over you, imagine what Jay Ajayi can do.
Yeah, I think this game has the potential to get ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this. Like, looking through a few Q&As, like, so who's this team here? Like, what are they going to be about? If they struggle to beat Stony Brook, I don't know if they'll pull Nevada, because Nevada struggled to beat, Southern Utah, and they came out to beat Wazoo, who's probably still not very good. There's not much about UConn. New quarterback. They've never been that good, outside of somehow winning the Big East a couple years ago. Look at this. Like you said, they didn't throw very well. They were 4-16 on third downs against an FCS team.
Oh.
4-16. They're not going to – Boise's going to go running. Do you think there's any concern about the early start time at all, a noon local time there in the East Coast?
No, I think Boise's a good enough team to get past that.
I just think if they can stop down Davis, they'll be fine. So do you think they'll cover the 16?
Yeah, I think they'll probably win by about 3 touchdowns.
All right, 3 touchdowns. I'll go with you. That makes perfect sense because UConn, oh, man, they wish they were probably back in FCS, it seems like. So big winners for Boise State, and just because UConn's terrible. Next game, let's see. We got a couple games. Let's go. Do you have any insight Air Force Georgia State you want to bring up?
What? You don't have any insight on Atlanta's football team?
What? Oh, that is Atlanta's football team because they play in the Georgia Dome.
Well, that's what they're trying to play up anyway. Yeah.
Good luck with that. Is this the? I know I'm probably ignorant, but is Georgia? I get Georgia State and Georgia Southern mixed up. Does
Georgia Southern is the one that runs the triple option.
That's what I was wondering. Okay, and beat Florida, where there's
is the one, I believe they were winless last year because this was their first year at the FBS level.
Yeah, they're opening out, they snuck by Abilene Christian, which I think some people actually saw that game. Here's all you need to know. They lost to New Mexico State, folks.
You know what? They actually had New Mexico State on the ropes for a little while. I was watching a little bit of that game, too. They've got a little bit of an opportunistic defense. So if they can force, Air Force to, into a couple of fumbles in their own side of the field, you might have a game on your hands.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Because looking at what Georgia State did, they moved the ball. They were Nick Arbacki or Arbeckle was pretty accurate versus New Mexico State. They have Christian Hammond who can run the ball pretty well, about 5 yards a carry.
It's going to be a contrast of styles. They've actually, they've only played two games so far, so take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But they're averaging 350 yards through the air per game, which is actually the best in the Sun Belt so far.
And that could be an issue because Air Force's secondary hasn't been good in about 4 years. They had the duo of, I think, Anthony Wright Jr. and some other guy I can't think of. I think he's like a third-string All-American. But they haven't had a good secondary in forever. And if they can pass against that team, that is a weakness that Air Force has had for a long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, no disrespect to the Wyoming fans out there, but this is probably the best passing attack they've faced so far.
That makes sense. Wyoming still, their quarterback situation's a mess after losing Brett Smith and Jason Thompson. But Air Force, the one thing about them, Kel Pearson can actually throw the ball because they had to throw versus Wyoming last week. And he threw, I think, 17 to 32, somewhere around that range. And they see the running game to get going, which they should have no issue because Wyoming with Craig Ball stepping it up. I expect Jacoby Owens to get about 150. And just tear it up because he did okay versus Wyoming, but he's the only guy. But one thing I'm interested in, they're favored by 12 points on the road, and this Air Force team won two games last year. I expect them to win, but almost the two touchdowns seems a bit much, even if it'll be in an empty Georgia Dome Saturday afternoon.
Well, I think they're going to have to do what Air Force usually does, which is, dominate time of possession and really do what they can to keep Georgia State's offense off the field. Their best bet is going to try and keep this like a low-scoring game, like under, I don't know, 20. If they can keep Georgia State under, let's say, 24 points, 28 points, I mean, do you think that's a reasonable task?
Maybe. Well, they peg it as a 60 over-under and a 12-point favorite. I mean, that's, if I can do quick math here, 40, like 35 to 23, somewhere around there. Maybe. Air Force kept up points. They just don't want to get into a back-and-forth game. They don't necessarily need to keep it low, but yeah, under 25, they should be fine because the Air Force defense isn't that great, even though they held Wyoming, but Wyoming's offense outside of Sean Wick and DJ Mayer aren't really much of anything, I would say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, three touchdowns is what they need to probably maximum for Georgia State, but still, Georgia State barely beat Abilene Christian. They lost to New Mexico State. The only way this happens is if Air Force coughs up the ball and Georgia State can pass against a secondary. But I think they should win. I don't know if they'll get that 12, but they should win by about at least a touchdown.
Well, it's going to be important for Georgia State to hold on to the football, too, because they've turned it over 7 times in the first two games.
Yeah.
They forced 4 turnovers, but they've given it up 7 times.
Yeah, it's a bit too many.
It's a team that's got a little bit of fight in them, but I think Air Force has what it takes to kind of keep them in check.
Yeah, they should be fine. Unless Air Force just screws up or whatever. But brings us to our next game. We probably should talk 2 seconds about Wyoming at Oregon. This 44 points.
That is a lot.
That is a lot of points. 44 points, yet the over-under is only at 64.5.
So that means they're probably expecting... I mean, they're expecting Oregon to roll, obviously. But
60-20?
They're expecting Wyoming to score, single digits.
Not if it's 64, though.
But, I mean, you're talking,
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, never mind. I was adding something.
56-7?
Jeez. I don't know. Craig Bull, he has the tough... Here's my thing, what I love about Wyoming so far. If you can limit the Air Force attack to about 2.5 yards a carry, you're doing something right. Because they'll put up 5 yards a carry, 7 yards a carry against 90% of college football. if they're playing, like when they played Oklahoma, if they go to play Auburn, if they're playing Florida, they'll put up 6 yards of carry. And, well, I mean, limited to about 2.5. And they might have it. The only way they'll keep it relatively close is if with that defense that I think is pretty good up front, because that's what Craig Bowl wants to do. They're going to have to get some turnovers, maybe get a good special teams play to maybe do something. But I'd be interested to see at least the first quarter how well if this defense is really tough enough to push around some of that Oregon offensive line, which, yeah, questionable still.
Yeah, those linebackers are pretty much going to have to play the game of their life.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, but give them credit because they have earned Defensive Player of the Week honors 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
You know, with Mark Nziocha in week one, and then the last week, I believe, it was Jordan Stanton. But,
it's,
you know,
it's Oregon.
Oregon is a huge step up from Air Force in terms of athleticism and speed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much as I like Wyoming's linebackers, I think, you know, they'll do well within the context of Mountain West play.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them having the wherewithal to keep up with Oregon's offense.
The interesting thing about this game, it's 11 a.m. local kickoff there in Eugene. It's on the Pac-12 network, so whoever gets that.
I get it.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I technically get it because my brother was nice and gave me his AT&T Uverse password.
Well, that's nice of him.
Because DirecTV is still ridiculous. But yeah, I get that. And then also, with not to go off topic, but we will anyways, with my rooted Nexus 7, I can screencast my anything I want, so I can plug in my Chromecast and pop up that on the TV, which is nice. Because they don't actually have Chromecast support. But
very nice.
It's a little inside stuff. But yeah, it's a. Do you think they'll cover somehow? That's all I want to see, if they can cover.
You know what? My first inclination, my gut tells me they won't.
That's a lot of points, man.
I mean, my gut tells me that they'll keep it close. Like, if you remember last year's Nevada-Florida State game, mm-hmm. where it was pretty obvious that the Wolfpack were overmatched, but I think it was still like 7-0, like midway through the second quarter before the floodgates opened.
I think it was like 13-7 or 17-7 at the half.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that, you know, Wyoming's going to be able to keep it close for a little while, but I think at some point, you know, at some point, Oregon's going to get a big play and the floodgates are going to open.
Yeah, because if I recall that game, Cody Fajardo was out, and I think what Florida State did was had like a kickoff return on the third quarter, then like a pick six or something to blow it up. But I'm going to go with Wyoming to do that, to cover, because 44 is just too many points. I don't care who you are, it's too many points.
No, I think they'll take care of the ball. I don't think they're going to turn the ball over at all. I think you're going to see a lot of Sean Wick and DJ May. But I don't think...
No quarterback play. It's not good.
I think the quarterback play is fine, but I don't...
Not against Oregon, it's not.
They're not explosive enough to hang with Oregon. Let's put it that way.
There you go. All right, so let's, next game, let's just say win or loss. I assume it's going to be a win with Air Force... Or excuse me. UC Davis, CSU, 1 o'clock, Mountain Time, 3 Eastern on, I believe it's on Campus Insiders or some streaming network. Anything you want to see from the Rams in that game? Rebound after that Boise State debacle?
Well, I think it was only a debacle in the sense that Garrett Grayson was a little bit careless with the football.
But he did throw pretty well, 300, I think, 54 yards, something like that.
Yeah, I read somewhere I think he had like over 400 yards of total offense. So... You know, I expect him to have that much by, like, the end of the third quarter against this UC Davis team. Because, you know, they went to Stanford in week one and got destroyed. Mm-hmm. So.
I know what the onus is if the running game can get back on track, which it should. But if they're going to win, they'll be 2-1 and be fine. Next game, Northern Illinois minus Jordan Lynch, of course. He's gone in. Is he in the CFL, I think? Did somebody pick him up?
I have no idea.
So I think the Bears cut him. I think the Bears signed him, then cut him eventually.
That guy was overrated.
I know you'd prefer Derek Carr over him in the Heisman finalist, but...
Exactly. I'm never going to get over that.
Or David Carr, same thing. That's ridiculous. But this game, UNLV is awful. They are... I did a Q&A with the guys from Hustle Belt. They're like, so tell me about the UNLV program. They haven't played Northern Illinois in a while. And my first response, well, to be kind, they've been awful. And it's true. They outside of their bowl game, it's since 2000. That's the last bowl game before this past year. They're bowl eligible this year thanks to the APR extra points they found. But if you looked at Chris's infograph on Sunday night, which you should because we're going to start doing that every week, Blake Decker's, I think, is actually worse than what Nick Sherry or Caleb Perry or, excuse me, the court. Yeah, who was it last year? Nick Sherry? Because we discussed this before.
Well, Nick Sherry started the year and then got benched.
That's what it was, yeah. I get those sometimes mixed up. But yeah, if you look at the numbers between two games between those two guys, Decker is pretty much in the same boat. And when you have the best receiver in the Mountain West, I believe, in Devontae Davis, you've got to have somebody who can throw him the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't undersell Marcus Sullivan either. I watched a little bit of their first game against Arizona. And, you know, you could see the potential that the offense had, but, you know, not to, you know, give it a – well, I'm going to give it a little bit of a Fresno lens. You know, the quarterback play just hasn't been up to par. So, you know, the longer it takes them to find the guy who's going to make plays, you know. I liked UNLV more than pretty much anyone else on the staff, I'm pretty sure. And I'm about a week or two away from looking like an idiot.
I think Chris, well, me and Chris both say, oh, they might be able to beat Arizona. Whoops.
Nope.
They also, Shaquille Murray Lawrence, is something's going on with him not being in the good graces of Bobby Houck. He's not on the depth chart. He's not playing. I don't know what the deal is. Nobody's really said outside of a little sentence or two after their second week game. But they don't have any real running game to speak of. And they need, because like their duo, like I think in the preseason, I felt Sullivan and Davis could be the best duo in the league, pretty much, to rival Matt Miller and Sean Williams-Rhodes of Boise State. They could be up there, but we assumed that would be with Murray Lawrence actually to be on the team to be able to play. But they have, what's his name here, George Nafua, I believe that's correct. He's doing okay, had about 90 yards on 22 carries last week, but again, they barely beat Northern Colorado. And Northern Illinois, they're like I said, no Jordan Lynch. They're taking a step back clearly, but if UNLV played anybody, I would take the other team regardless almost at this point.
Well, see, here's the thing. Northern Illinois has got their own dual quarterback system going on right now. But they're making it work, which frustrates me as a Fresno fan.
Yeah, how that's going.
You know, they're the team. They're the kind of team that has incredible balance. You know, they've got, I think, two or three guys who already have over 100 yards rushing.
True. They actually played three quarterbacks last week against Northwestern.
Oh, really?
Well, at least three people recorded the pass. And I'm assuming it's three quarterbacks. When one goes 6 of 10, 3 of 4, and 4 of 9, I'm assuming that's three quarterbacks. Not a random halfback pass or anything. But still, they're balanced, but how did they beat Northwestern, man? They only had 400 yards of offense.
Well, Northwestern's been depleted over the offseason. I mean, they lost their top playmaker, Venrick Mark. I think he transferred. And then I think their top wide receiver got hurt and is out for the year 2 weeks ago, wasn't he?
I'm not keeping up with Northwestern football, so I'll say sure.
Let's just, okay, suffice it to say Northwestern football is back to being sad for the moment.
Just like UNLV.
Exactly.
They run the ball. Akeem Daniels can run pretty well, but I thought the Washington transfer for UNLV would actually do something on defense linemen. What is it, Wosley, I believe that's his name? Is that the guy transferred in from Washington like the last week of camp? He's a defensive end, but I figured he would be able to make some noise and do something, but their defense is traditional UNLV defense, where it's not very good. No, excuse me, Josh Shirley. Yeah, he's listed as a co-starter defensive end. Figured he would do something. I don't know. Here's the thing. At this game, if Blake Decker is still terrible at halftime, they have to put in Nick Sherry. He started enough games. He knows what's going on. He can't be any worse. And so if he's not in by halftime and it's, if UNLV's down by, say, 10 points or, say, Decker's, like, 4 of 10 or something, you got to stick in Sherry to get something going with the offense. I think that's what I think that will happen. You'll see Nick Sherry play a bunch in this game. And if he plays, there'll be some sort of spark in the offense, and they'll probably be able to make it, if they're losing, have someone to come back and keep it close. But I think they need to make a change if Decker doesn't do anything by the first half.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if last year is any indication, you know, what you just said is exactly what's going to happen if UNLV falls behind, because it was the third game last year, you know, when UNLV was down 21-0 to Central Michigan. And I remember saying that I thought Central Michigan was going to roll in that game because I was on the podcast and I said that. Mm-hmm. And then Caleb Herring came off the bench and led them to a comeback victory. So it could be that this is pretty much the extent of Bobby Houck's leash. If Decker doesn't have it in him, you might see Sherry by the end of the game.
You could, because looking ahead at their schedule, they play Houston next week, and Houston, they're not as good as they were last year. Part of that, they're not going to be +2 every game in the turnover margin, but Houston, they're at Houston pretty good. At San Diego State, could be the best team in the league, right up there. Then they go at San Jose State, and it's a road game, so who knows with UNLV. They could be staring 0-6 before they host Fresno. Or not, oh, excuse me, no, sorry, 1-5, excuse me, beat Northern Colorado. But they could be almost essentially a bowl, eliminated for bowl contention, because they have to win 7 games. Mm-hmm. With added that Houston game. So if they don't figure the quarterback after this game, they're probably, their next win may not come until they play New Mexico on November 1st. And that's a good old UNLV. Glad that extension worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, Chris must be really thrilled about this.
He goes to some of the games, so we'll keep in touch with Chris on that. So let's move on, because, oh, actually, wait, we need to give a prediction. Who you got?
I got Northern Illinois by a couple touchdowns.
It's hard to not agree with that, because I don't trust UNLV. You can't. I never trusted them. Even last year, I'm like, ugh. Now, it's a home game, but Northern Illinois, they're going to win. They'll probably, yeah, 2 touchdowns. They'll cover that 10 points. Now to your favorite game of the week, Nebraska at Fresno State.
Yay.
So what's your first thought on this game then?
My first thought on this game is I am very worried.
As you should be. What's the deal with the quarterback? Are they going to split? Because last week they stuck with Burrell for most of the second and third quarter until he got a minor injury. Is he the guy who should be starting this for this team?
Well, you know, the last 2 weeks, they had Burrell in for the entirety of the first quarter. And versus USC, Connett came in down 24. And last week, they were down 17 by the time Connett took the field in the second quarter. And then I believe Burrell took over in the third against USC. But last week, because Burrell was so ineffective, they left Connett in the game.
That's what it was. Sorry. I'm not sure. I get those confused. I knew one guy started, the other guy played 2 quarters, essentially, in the middle.
You know, everything I've been hearing says that they're going to keep going with this 2 quarterback system until at least conference play.
Jeez.
Which, you know, on the one hand, it's a terrible idea.
Tell Dave Schramm to make a decision.
On the other hand, I don't really see how they have much of a choice, because neither guy has really distinguished himself. You know, last week I wrote in the game preview for the Utah game that I really felt like they had to come out and take shots early, which they did not do against USC at all. And on the first 2 plays from scrimmage, that's exactly what they did. They ran for 2 yards, and then Burrell took 2 shots deep and just, you know, couldn't connect. I think one of them was overthrown. And, you know, that was the thing that came back to bite both quarterbacks in that game, is they just kept overthrowing their receivers every time they took shots deep. And so there's been a huge clamor that Connett's got to be the starter this week. He's got to be the starter this week. And I'm not going to lie, I really feel like Burrell deserves another chance.
Why do you say that?
Because I really don't think that, you know, the stagnant starts are all his fault. I mean, if you go back and look at last week's game, there were a couple of instances, you know, they went 3 and out on the first drive, and, you know, they took shots. That was fine. I was okay with that.
Why don't you say the first 5 drives? Because that's what it looks like here.
But no, here's the thing. But the second drive, you know, he was sacked twice in a row, and he didn't even have time to set and throw. There was, you know, the third down play where Justin Northern was still in his stance when the defensive lineman ran right by him and took down Burrell.
Yeah, Hunter did a pretty good job on that one.
Yeah, so, you know, the fact that they got shut out in the first quarter last week wasn't all on Burrell. I think a lot of people had hands in making that happen.
let's turn your scene. Yeah, run for 2 yards, sack. It's tough to say. I don't know. They can start where they want to start, but then you look at Nebraska. They needed help to beat a McNeese State FCS team. So it's like, is there hope because of that? Because they only won by a touchdown. They needed their running back to, what's his name?
Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, I want to say Raheem Abdullah, but Amir Abdullah to bail them out of that game. My opinion is that's just the game. You're playing FCS team. You're there up big. Or not big, but they're up 10 points late in the game. It's kind of relaxed. In that fourth quarter, they came back. Tommy Armstrong looks pretty good. He runs the ball very well. He's a dual threat guy. It's probably the best quarterback they've seen who can do more. Cody Kessler's pretty good, but if Armstrong's going to run and throw, Fresno's defense is shaky, man.
The biggest difference between Armstrong and the two quarterbacks that they've played so far is that Armstrong is nowhere near as accurate as a passer.
Sure.
You know, they rolled against Florida Atlantic and they survived McNeese State. But he's only completed 52% of his passes so far, which is only a little bit better than his percentage from last year. So, you know, they seem like the kind of team where they're gonna live and die for the most part on their running game and taking shots down the field to their wide receivers. So if they can find a way to bottle up Amir Abdullah, they've got a little bit of a puncher's chance if the cornerbacks can get right.
Well, that's the issue versus Utah. It's like, well, we're not going to throw to John Smith's side. We'll throw it over the middle and do these quick plays and get yards after yards. They need to stop those inside routes.
They were thrown to the sidelines, and the cornerbacks were just missing tackles.
Oh, that too, yeah.
You know, Brian Harper whipped on a couple of tackles. There was, you know, I think another corner blitz where someone whipped on a sack on Travis Wilson. Marcus Washington in the end zone mistimed his jump when Kenneth Scott caught his first touchdown. There were just a lot of mistakes, and, you know, Jordan Westerkamp and Kenny Bell are the two guys that are going to come to town, and they both got big play potential.
Are they trying to make too much of the play? Like, you see a lot of guys who they'll get beat for a deep pass if they want to make the big play. Is that an issue, you think, with some of the defensive plays for Fresno?
I think a lot of it is just maybe being out of position. Some of it is just poor tackling. There's more than one reason why the secondary has been really bad so far.
So what do you think? I don't think Fresno has a chance. They're going to be 0-3. I don't know if the late start has anything to do with it. Probably shouldn't if it's a one-time deal. They are playing 9:30 local time for Nebraska. I believe they're central time zone, so late game. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but until they can come out with the quarterback, Fresno's nothing's going to go well in that area, and I don't think they'll be able to win the game. I don't think they'll lose by 40 points again or give up whatever they've been losing by. I think they might find a little success, but I still see them 2 touchdowns losing. I don't see any home opener maybe. I don't know. It's sold out. Whatever they show up. What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to at least cover, get within single digits maybe?
What's the line on that game?
11.
11. Ooh. Why is it only 11?
They barely beat McNeese State.
Oh, man.
I thought it'd be more, too.
I thought they've lost by at least 20 to both Utah and the USC so far. I don't understand that at all.
So what do you think, then?
I would take Nebraska.
To win and cover?
To win and cover, yes.
Oh,
the only saving grace that the Bulldogs have is if they score first, because ever since DeRuiter took over as head coach, they're 16-2 when they score first.
Got to go with the percentages. Hopefully that plays out. Yeah, he's had Derek Carr the past 2 years with that, but still, that doesn't matter. You're still 16-2 when they score first.
It still counts.
Yeah, I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying, yeah, it's a new team. They just got to have a quarterback. That's all I can say. If they don't have a quarterback, they're going back and forth. It's going to be a mess. And I don't want to say it, but maybe... No, I'm not... No, that's mean to say, but...
No, go ahead and say it.
Well, I'm saying maybe some guy gets dinged up a little bit, has to sit out, play the one guy the rest of the game. Like a twisted ankle or something. You know what I mean? Gets a little dislocated rib or something. Nothing too serious.
Well, that's what happened in the fourth quarter last week, and Brian Burrell led them on 2 touchdowns.
Then why isn't he going to feed... this touchdown drives?
I don't know, because Utah was up by like 35 by that point, and they were just playing prevent.
That's fine. Nebraska's gonna win. Fresno's 0-3. Time to panic, right?
I don't think it's time to panic. I think, you know, most fans are just gonna resign themselves to, you know, not show up for the Southern Utah game next week.
Will they beat New Mexico on September 26th?
Yes.
Just want to make sure.
That is my bold proclamation. They will beat New Mexico, and whatever the spread is, if they're favored, they're going to cover.
Okay. Fair enough. That's perfectly fine. Yeah. So let's move on to the next game. We got two games left. Yeah. Dude, we're flying by this, man. What do Chris and I talk about the whole time? I don't know. Boise State, I guess.
Probably.
So maybe people will like this. I bet we'll be under 50 minutes. Not if I keep talking like this. So, Nevada at Arizona. Dude, this game's so late. 11 Eastern time. I'm assuming Arizona is on the Mountain time zone this time of year. Pacific time zone. Do you know if that's correct?
All I know is they're the only state that doesn't use daylight savings time.
Yeah, I know that too. I'm assuming they're
ESPN, and it says 11 o'clock Eastern. So
assuming they're Pacific, because 8 o'clock kickoff. They're on the Pac-12 network. I am so ticked this on the Pac-12 network because I think Nevada can get this win.
What makes you think that?
That's a good question. I think they have the best quarterback on the field in Cody Fajardo. Their offense is, he makes some good points. Because I did mention to somebody last week that, or in the show, that Nevada's offensive performance versus Washington State was subpar by their standards, and they still won. Nevada, maybe? Is that too weird to say? Because I think Nevada... what I really think it is, they have a more balanced attack. Because last year, Rosario was asked to do too much. Because they had no running game. They had Kendall Brock, but he's now, for some reason, wide receiver and not seeing the field. And Don Jackson didn't really do what he's supposed to be doing or what they thought when he transferred in. I think they have enough diverse offense to make the pistol actually work. And that's where I think they'll be able to do something in this game. And then look what UTSA did last week. They ran the ball, they moved the ball quickly on offense, and they took advantage of Arizona, who couldn't really stop what they were trying to run. And that's, I'm kind of going off more of that, of what their the Texas San Antonio performance compared to Nevada, who actually has their pistol the way they need to run it with the key players. And even though they lost Brandon Wimberly, they look what Richie Turner's doing, and then Hassan Henderson, they're both playing pretty well catching the ball. So that's where I think offensively they'll be fine. The defense, Washington State, we know Nevada's defense hasn't been very good. They brought back a lot of talent, even though it's bad talent, but they made defensive plays versus Washington State, who throws the ball pretty well. And they held them to only about over six yards and a completion, which is pretty good for a Mike Leach offense to stop up to that amount.
Yeah, I mean, here's the question you have to ask yourself. Is Nevada's defense, is it closer to UTSA, which is a pretty decent defense, or is it closer to UNLV's defense, which has looked...
awful? Bad?
They looked awful when they played Arizona, yeah.
I don't know, UNLV is just terrible, that's all I can say. But UTSA... here's the thing, they didn't force what their big thing was against Arizona. They gave up a good amount of yards, both on the ground and passing. They gave up 450, and Anu Solomon just ripped them apart at least the plays he made. His percentage was okay, like 17 to 32, which is not great, but he was getting the deep play. Like, he had the 85 yarder, a 20, and a lot of deep plays on that game. If I can speak, it gets that team. But UTSA, they had no turnovers. They held Arizona for on a 25% on third down of conversions.
Yeah, 4-15.
Yeah, 4-15. And I guess if you really look at it closely, they had that only one deep pass, 85 yards. Take that away, and they held Anu Solomon to nothing. Or Solomon to... it's like the Washington game versus Hawaii, where that one deep pass now is it. That puts them about 150. If that ball doesn't get completed and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way Nevada wins this game is if they win a track meet. Because the difference between Washington State and Arizona is that, you know, when you're playing a Mike Leach team, you know exactly what you're going to get. You know, you're going to get a team that throws the ball a lot. you know, when you're going up against a Rich Rodriguez team, you're getting something totally different. You're getting, you know, the zone read spread. And, you know, is Nevada's defense fast enough to stop these guys?
Brock Heckin, well, here's the thing. Their edges, the Brock Heckin and Ian Seau, are really good. And you can't, when you run the read option, you're going to the outside. So unless they, because you can't, here's the thing, with the, when you're on two good defensive ends, you can't double or even maybe give a little clip. You can't really slow down both defensive ends. You're going to have to attack one or the other. Either add an extra tight end. Richard's not going to have a fullback, but in the, you're going to have probably maybe like H-back, who may essentially be technically a fullback in motion there. They'll do that, but you can't stop both guys. So if they do a, we know what Rich Rodriguez does, read option, like you said, or they'll do the a lot of play action. If they're going to do play action, you can't stop both defensive ends.
Well, so yeah,
pick and choose.
Arizona's got a couple of guys who've looked really good on the ground so far. You know, Nick Wilson's averaging 7.5 yards per carry so far.
Well, then you also have Jones Grisby at 9. Well, he's only 13 attempts, but still, when he's averaging almost 10. I just think with the way that the rest of the defense has to step up clearly, but with, if they're going to pass, like you, if like they're going to do both. We know. I'm just saying that kind of said versus Washington State. If they give either of those guys to get in the backfield, get to the quarterback, get to the running back, Heckin or Sale, that you just can't stop both guys. You have to pick. It's not like it's a D tackle, D end, or linebacker to D end. You're not going to bring an extra guy to either clip or block the both defensive ends. So one of those guys is going to have to step up and make a play, whoever they're not going to guard. And I think that guy could maybe be a difference in slowing down this offense. Because if you look at Nevada, what they've done, like tackles for loss, they were pretty good in their first two games. Yet they played Southern Utah and in Washington State. They throw the ball a bunch of times. You're going to get those opportunities.
Not a team that runs the ball. So, I mean, most of those tackles they had.
Or sacks.
No, they had 7 against Washington. Okay, so maybe never mind.
I mean, they lead the league in, they lead the Mountain West in sacks and I believe tackles for loss as well. So they're getting. No, not tackles for loss. Sorry. Tackles for loss are middle of the pack, but 11 for loss and 6 sacks. That's. They're getting back there regardless of who it is. So it's going to be. They're going to have to pick their poison almost on either of those guys to make it. And they might be able to. If they run away from one guy and double, say they run to the right side and double whoever's over there, run to the left side, double from there, you can counter that in the running game because if you run away from it's going to be very hard to whoever's on the opposite end to run however many yards to get across to make a play. And if you're making a play on the other side of the field, it's not going to be for a lot. It's going to be for 5 or 6 yards or something at least.
Well, let me put the 6 sacks in context real quick because I wanted to look this up for my own curiosity. Mm-hmm. Nevada's faced 99 pass attempts so far, which is the third most in the FBS so far. So, you know, 6 sacks over, let's just round it up to 100.
6%, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I don't know, what's a good average? I'm just thinking that's... So, okay, go ahead with what your thought is on this.
I mean, I'm just saying that I think, you know, we still don't know how much they can stop the run. And they were really bad at stopping the run a year ago.
Very true.
So that's where they're going to win or lose this game. Because if they get gashed repeatedly, you know, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Fajardo to keep up.
And that's why I think, like, because when I said versus Washington State, because, like you said, we know their defense is still questionable. It looks to be better. But still questionable at best because Southern Utah's FCS and Washington State's Colorado-esque is how well they're going to be. Esque, I should say, not esque, but as Lost was going to say, that's great. That's the best thing ever. That sucks. I had a good point to make. I corrected myself on that. Dang it, that's... I don't know what to say for that. Nevada... Oh, I was getting that. Sorry. There's still... no, I don't remember. Oh, yes, here it is. I got it out. Yeah, great listening, folks. I'm glad you like stayed through for that part. You know, when I said versus Washington State, it's you don't want to... Like you said, attract me. I kind of think it's the opposite a little bit. Because with their defense still being as it is, we're not entirely sure. If it's 40... Like I was saying, if they can keep Washington State last week under mid-30s, they should win. But they can't go... I don't think they can go score for score. the offense is getting there, I think, but I think they're going to need defense to make a stop here and there. And I'm going to say the same thing. If they can keep Arizona under 35 points, they'll have a chance to win. Because we know they'll likely give up points because this offense is more diverse and seems to be more efficient than Washington State has been or is this year. And that's where I don't think it's going to be – if it gets in the 40s, I just don't think Fajardo, Don Jackson, everything can keep up. They need to keep it – it could be a lot of points, but nothing – mid-30s, the highest they'd be able to give up and still get a win versus Arizona.
And see, I'm gonna take the opposite tack. I'm gonna say that even if the game does get into the 40s, I'm not gonna say Nevada can't win that kind of game. But that would mean that at some point their defense has got to make it. They've got to make one stop.
Yes,
if they're gonna win a 48-45 type of game.
Yeah, they're gonna have to get either a sack, tackle for loss, force a fumble, short field to get a good something. Yeah. I can see it happening, but I'd be much more confident if it's under 40 points.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's more likely that Arizona, you know, gets a couple of third down stops early and marches down the field, opens up maybe a 14-point lead, and kind of takes care of business from there.
But if you look at Nevada, possibly too, but look at Nevada, like passes defended and passes broken up, they have, it's still way too early, but like Charles Garrett has, or Garrett, excuse me, four passes broken up, four defended. You have Ian Sale, defensive end, has a pair of each. And then you also have, like, Jonathan McNeil has three pass breaks up. So they're guys, and those are two of those linebackers. So they're making plays, getting their hands up. And that's where I'm thinking, like I said, yeah, we know I knew Solomon's throwing pretty well, but they're at least doing something to make plays. Because pass, it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you get a pass breakup, it doesn't really matter your opponent, in my opinion. You can be playing Southern Utah, Florida State, SMU, Texas, Wyoming, it doesn't matter. If you're getting a pass breakup, it's just you're getting your hands up because quarterbacks aren't throwing it directly to those guys all that often if you're a good or bad quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you got a point. I think, you know, whoever wins that matchup between Arizona's offensive line and Nevada's defensive line is going to have a big edge in this game.
Yeah, very true. So what do you think? Do you think Arizona is going to just win or do you give Nevada a chance to pull off the upset?
No, I think Nevada is going to be able to keep – or I think, excuse me, I think Arizona – is going to be able to keep Nevada at arm's length. I think they'll get, you know, a lead in the first half. I think Nevada will probably cover the 16-point spread that I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Arizona probably still wins comfortably.
I'm going to channel Chris because he always gives a stupid upset pick. And I'm going to go Nevada's going to win outright in this game.
Oh, no.
It never works, but I got to go with it. Because I'm kind of on the Nevada bandwagon a little bit, saying they have a shot to win the West. And while Arizona's been good, they did not impress me when I watched them at UTSA. And I know UNLV's terrible.
Well, I will say this, though. If Nevada can keep it within a touchdown, win or lose, I'll be a believer.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because that would mean that they probably have the offense that's good enough to beat just about anybody in the Mountain West.
Sure, I agree. I just don't think if they can't get, like you said earlier, they can't get behind and come back because their defense is not, at least at this point, not on par, I would say, to be able to stop to allow the offense to come back.
Yeah.
So we got that. So final game of the week is actually Sunday.
Actually, I believe you forgot one.
Which one?
We forgot about Wake Forest and Utah State.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific on the CBS Sports Network.
Apologize. Utah State's one of my favorite teams on ESPN, so it shot it to the top, and I was just scrolling through the time. Sorry. Sorry, Aggies fans. Sorry, Ben. Sorry, Connor.
To be fair, they've played totally forgettable football so far this year.
Yeah. But yet, how surprised are you that they're a 15-point favorite at home?
I am a little bit surprised.
Not that Wake Forest is good, but
Wake Forest has a reputation for being scrappy.
But they lost to Monroe. UL Monroe.
UL Monroe could be pretty good this year.
Well, yeah, they could be, but still.
They could be bringing the fun row back to Monroe.
In the fun belt, I guess. Is that the same
thing? Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's a few things that we need to know about Wake Forest. Their backup quarterback's not playing. Offensive lineman's out. Their backup running back's out. John Wolford's a pretty good quarterback, but when you throw three picks versus Gardner Webb, you have some questions to answer.
Yeah, I think it, I think the most likely outcome for this game is it's kind of a rock fight.
That makes sense. And well, we should mention Utah State's missing a few players too. We know Kyle Frackle's out for the year, and a wide receiver. As I struggled to find, not struggled, but as I went through to find this before, I closed out that page. Was it Swan? I believe.
Oh,
who is it?
Brandon Swindell.
It's Brandon Swindell. That's it. He's one of their leading receivers on Utah State's team. He's out. He's not playing, and that hurts him as well. They do have JoJo Natchin still. I just want to see, because I mentioned last week, Trecky Keaton, 130 yards versus Idaho State. I don't care. Yards-wise versus FCS team, whatever. But when he's, I believe he was, what, 13 of 30 or 13 of 35? That's when you have questions, when you have poor accuracy against a terrible Big Sky team.
Yeah, they had a weird first half against Idaho State. And I'm honestly not sure what to make about it. I think we can, although I will say, I think we can call off the Chucky Keaton for Heisman campaign now.
I believe so. That's accurate. He still has the face, he's still the website, though. Here's the thing. A couple weird things about the Idaho State game, which we discussed before. They are 4-14 on third down. 160 penalty yards.
Wow.
14 penalties. That's like a personal foul penalty. 14 for 160. Chucky Keaton's knee seems fine. When you run for 74 yards, you're fine. But here's exactly what he went. 13 of 30 for 116, actually. I know versus a Tennessee game, they're dropping passes. The defense looked pretty good for the most part versus Tennessee. I just want to see Keaton be accurate. Maybe he can, but there's issues either. His throwing motion seems fine. I don't know if it's just there's a lot of new wide receivers from last year. Like they lost Travis Van Leeuwen for one. I don't know if it's just a timing or what, but he needs to step up to actually complete a few passes.
Well, I mean, maybe they just need to try and test Wake Forest on the ground. You know, they still have Joe Hill, who's had a
pretty good
day season so far.
And Keaton can still run if need be.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Zach to open it up, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe they just need to, you know, try to establish the running game early on and then try to take them over the top with play action.
I just think when you hear Wake Forest, you don't think of a good football. Like, this would be an awesome basketball matchup, I think, even better, perhaps. But I don't know what to make Wake Forest. They Mondroyx is pretty good. They struggle versus Gardner-Webb, who, I don't know, FCS conference they're in, but they're not a good one. If you look at what Wake does pass defense, they're pretty good. They're third in the ACC. They've allowed zero touchdown passes. They're only giving up 4 yards an attempt and 121 yards per game. Do either of those teams run the option? Maybe that would play into that. Do you know? I don't think so.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Because Gardner-Webb, they only had 54 yards. They only threw 16 times.
Well, the difference between, you know, the Gardner-Webb game and the Monroe game that they played is that, you know, Monroe had a lot more success on third down than Gardner-Webb did. So if Utah State can just keep moving the chains, that, you know, if they can, you know, keep Wake Forest's offense off the field, like that really means anything. But
yeah, 5 first downs in that Monroe game. Jeez, that's just awful.
Yeah, but then, you know, Wake Forest, they coughed up 9 of 21 conversions on third down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that might be, you know, if they're struggling to make big plays, you know, maybe they just want to try and, you know, take what the defense gives them.
I think, because I'm looking at that box score as well, but they only had 97 total yards. And even though Utah State lost Kyle Frackle, they're still the two Bigelow brothers. They have BJ Larson on the defensive end. So Brian Sweet in the secondary. I would take their defense over Monroe's defense any day. And I'm wondering, that might be the big difference. Like, even if Keaton still struggles, Joe Hill does just enough. I'm wondering if it's probably just the defense is finally going to have their game where, like, all right, we're here to play. We're not giving up a lot of points to this team that Wake Forest doesn't really have any identity. They're not good on third down. They don't throw the ball downfield. Their running game with Orville Reynolds is just okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're not trying to take very many chances with their true freshman quarterback.
No,
so
that's an issue.
If they want to put pressure on him early, and force him to make a bad pass, that wouldn't be the worst idea in the world, because he's already thrown four interceptions.
Four interceptions, been sacked 8 times, and he's completing a lot of, he's completing 70% of his passes, but again, he's not going downfield. He's averaging 6.5 yards per attempt. That's an attempt. Not completion, attempt. And part of that is set 70% because he's 79 versus Gardner-Webb, and it gets a competent defense 54%.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, Wake Forest is pretty clearly a team that's in the middle of a rebuild.
Rebuild?
So if Utah State can jump on them early, and there's really no excuse for them not to, you know, they should be able to handle this game pretty easily.
I think 15 seems like a lot, just what I've seen, but I think they should be able to take care of this as well. Because they need this win to say, hey, we're not going to, that we can beat Colorado State, we can beat Boise State, and at least contend with them, show that our defense is fine with who we have. And Keaton, it would be nice if we could have a great game in this, in their second home game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Utah State blowing the doors off of Wake Forest in this game, but I think that the defense will have its best game yet. I think that, you know, 23-7 sounds about right to me.
That makes sense, yeah, because they'll do probably one of those games, assuming they can get to that sort of lead, they'll have like the 7-10 point, 1-2 possession lead, Wake may score, and maybe a little more points than what you said, but something where Utah State's up just enough where you're concerned, but it's like, okay, we seem comfortable to win this game.
Yeah, so I mean, what's the line you have in front of you?
15.
15.
15.
What did I say? I just said 23-7, so that was...
There you go. You're on the record of covering the game.
So I'll take Utah State to cover.
Go to Vegas, folks. Take that to the... Well, no, don't take that to the bank.
Ask Chris to take that to the bank.
Yeah, I could drive 90 minutes and be there, but no. Don't need to spend money that way, and I'm looking need money. All right, final game, the actual final game. If you want to stay up late, Northern Iowa at Hawaii. Midnight Eastern, Mountain West Network, online streaming. Hawaii wins, right, even without Iosefa?
They should, although, you know, Northern Iowa put up a bit of a fight, in week one, I think, against State, right?
Iowa, 31-23, they lost to Iowa.
Oh, was it Iowa?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, forgive me for that.
Because somehow Kirk Ferentz still has a job and makes, I think, $5 million a year. So, yeah, that guy.
So, I mean, you know, they're not a team to be taken lightly.
Especially for Hawaii. They need any win they can get.
Yeah, and I mean, when I was trying to project my wins and losses before the season started, I'll be honest, I thought this was the only game that Hawaii would win all season long. So...
That's the only games they won. They beat South Alabama last year, transition FCS to FBS. And then who did they beat before? The year before? Maybe it was Army. But yeah, they're struggling. Yeah, this is a game they need to somehow say we're okay to do something. Because I like Woosley's great, and Stephen Lakalaka will be okay. They should just win. That's all there is to it. They've looked better, and they can make a comeback if they're behind and win. But this... There's no excuse for them not to win this game, because they have improved quite a bit from what we've seen last year.
Well, the only reason I think Northern Iowa can hang around is because, you know, Woolsey hasn't exactly been the picture of efficiency
so far
this year. You know, last week against Oregon State, he was just not very good at all.
And even versus Washington, he'd throw those bullets and guys couldn't catch the ball. He needed to get some touch, and I think he has more time than he thinks to throw the ball. And this game should give him that.
Yeah, but I mean, if, you know, since, you know, Iosefa is not going to be in the game, if Stephen Lakalaka can be like 80% of what Iosefa is,
yeah,
then I think Hawaii should be able to take this game.
Sure, that makes sense. So let's look ahead to Hawaii. They're going to win. I'm going to call they're going to win regardless. So let's finish up here. But look ahead to Hawaii, because Iosefa is out for about 6 weeks maybe. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a chance? I think they'll beat Northern Iowa. Do you think they could beat Colorado and then maybe Rice without those guys and be somehow 3-2? Both road games, Colorado, Rice.
Who did Colorado play last week? I don't even know. Did
they beat UMass by 3 points.
They beat UMass? Oh, really?
41-38.
Well, I mean, Colorado State was able to turn the tide against the Buffaloes in week one.
Yeah, and the second half comeback.
Yeah, and they were able to mount the second half comeback against the Minutemen last week. Oh, man. I mean, Colorado's a really young team. So, you know, I'm going to stick with my first inclination. I'm going to say that Colorado has enough talent to beat Hawaii.
They should.
And Hawaii's definitely not going to beat Rice. I think Rice is a much better team than Hawaii is.
I don't think Rice. I think they take a step back because they got blown out by Notre Dame. Even though, and Notre Dame looks okay, but
Notre Dame looks really good.
Well, their defense looks really good. But Rice is going to get crushed by Texas A&M this week. They'll probably beat Old Dominion, but they'll probably be 2-2 at that point. But I think it's a game where Hawaii could hang around. So I'm wondering if Hawaii will do the thing where, since they're playing two road games, Mountain and then Central Time Zone, they'll probably stay. Oh, no, that's 2 weeks apart. Never mind then. They have a bye week before Rice. I was thinking, like, you hear Hawaii, they're like, oh, we'll stay in Las Vegas. We'll stay in Utah. We'll stay in New Mexico, practice there, do schoolwork there if they're playing two straight road games. Looks like that's not the case, especially if they're not the West Coast. But do you think they'll win any of those games? Do you think they can win Colorado or Rice, both road games, and somehow be two wins maybe?
No, I think they're going to lose both of them.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
I mean, you guys, and I believe it was Chris Turner, right, who were much higher than Hawaii than I am.
Yeah, I think so. Because when we did our preseason show, me and Chris Hodges were like, oh, Hawaii's great. They're like, wait a minute. Look what they have here. Look what they have here. My saving grace is Yosefa, but if he's not there, I think they've improved enough. I'll give them a fighting chance in Colorado and Rice, but realistically, I think they might be able to get one of those.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the way I see it, Woolsey's going to have to make a play at some point.
And hopefully he does it this weekend.
But I mean, he's extremely raw. And I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that he's going to be able to make a play when it really counts.
I get your point. He made a few passes, but nothing consistent enough to say, hey, he's a good quarterback. I just think he just looks to be more. I think part of it, it's one quarterback, just one.
That's
and
fair.
And he does look confident back there throwing the ball. He's not running for his life. They roll out when he needs to, but he's not scared. He's not forcing stuff. He's not really, when he throws a completion, it's not like he's usually trying to make a huge play, like trying to force or a dumb throw. He just needs to. I just think it just comes down to more confidence and to improve, because he looks okay back there. He's making the right plays. He looks like he's forcing it, doing what he should be doing. I think he needs a little bit of touch and needs to have a streak of good play.
Yeah, I mean, I think one way or another, it's going to be a learning experience for him. Mm-hmm. And they should be able to, you know, get him some chances to take shots early against Northern Iowa. And, you know, if they can get a lead, then just lean on the running game late. Let him, you know, run a couple times. Hand the ball off to Lakalaka like 20, 25 times and just take it from there.
All right, so now we got the game, pretty much what we're talking about. Do you have anything you want to add about anything this week?
Nothing immediately comes to mind, no.
What game are you looking? Because the games are okay as we go. Besides the Fresno game, what game are you looking to watching? Because at least this week, they're spread out reasonably well. You don't have four games at the same time like last week.
I'm most interested in this Nevada and Arizona game.
It's so late, though, man. It's late. Even for me, at 9 o'clock. Not that late, but I think the most intriguing game, I'll agree with you, Nevada-Arizona. I also want to see if Boise State can do what we keep up what they're doing with Ajayi, because this may sound foolish, but if they had a day beating Ole Miss, Ajayi would legitimately be like in the Heisman consideration. He had almost 300 yards versus last week in passing and receiving.
Yeah, but didn't he only have, like, 70 yards against Ole Miss?
Well, 70 running and then another 70 passing.
Oh, I guess that's true.
I mean, he's he had, actually, looking right there, he had, 93 receiving, 12 receptions for 93, 20 for 86.
Yeah, and he's got more reason to strike the Heisman pose than some other more highly touted football players out there who will remain nameless.
And as in the state of Utah?
And as in, you know, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, that guy too.
That from last week, that, come on.
No. I know. If they'd beaten Ole Miss, he wouldn't be, no way he'd win, but there could be some, it's still, week three right now, but he has that amount of yards, a dual threat guy for running back, there could be some talk. They'd be top 25. We have a couple wins under the belt. But, yeah, I think Arizona, Nevada, just because I picked Nevada to win, and so I probably got to stay up late to watch most of that game at least. And then I want to see if a Boise can keep it up and see how their offense looks against a team that's not good. If they're going to go back to winning 50-10 like they've still been a couple years. But
yeah, I also think Air Force and Georgia State has the potential to be the most fun game of the weekend.
Because turnovers will happen, sloppy play.
No, I think one team is going to air it out, and the other team is going to rip off big gains on the yard, and it's just going to be fun to watch a real contrast of styles.
It's kind of what Nevada-Washington State was. I'd like to see like Air Force versus Washington State be pretty good, too. Something like that. So, all right, so we did sorry, folks. We did pass the one-hour mark because I forgot a game.
I apologize for nothing.
No, don't. At least it's not 120, so that's our show tonight. Thank you, Matt, joining us in. He does Fresno State stuff. He does some other random editing behind-the-scenes stuff for us when I ask him to nicely. So check us out, MWC Connection on Twitter. What's your Twitter? It changes all the time. At least it changed the last time I checked.
It is at MattK_FS.
How many followers do you have? Do you know offhand?
50.
50?
Actually, let me check real quick. I have 53.
I was going to say you need to have a competition with Chris, but Chris is blowing you out with about 380.
Some of them are Fresno State athletes, and most of them are people in my other classes.
That's
so
fine. Give him a follow. Hey, follow Matt. Give say it one more time. Give him a follow.
It is at MattK_FS.
Give him a follow. He will. Will you tweet game day then a lot? Maybe?
I certainly try to, yes.
Try to, okay. I'll give you a retweet right here about, let's see, let's retweet your preview right now that you did 24 hours ago. There you go. Go follow that. So, yeah, check out Matt's stuff. Check out MWCConnection.com. I love we're getting comments. People comment. Great. Our open thread, the crazy thing, I was working Friday night. Chris was gone Friday night. We had over 200 comments for one game. I was at, as you called me, a nerd at Comic-Con on last Saturday. free tickets, family. We went. It was a good time. I DVR'd the games at night. We still had 300-plus comments. Excellent. Without, because me and Chris usually comment a lot. You're in there quite a bit. But me and Chris tries to keep it going when they're like, come on, people, like, give us a comment. But we thanks for showing up. We want to get 800 likes on Facebook, maybe. So check us out on Facebook. But football's here. Stop by. We got, if you like San Diego State, got you covered as well. That's completely covered for everybody on that end. But thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you, Matt, for hopping in with Chris. We'll have you on definitely again. And everybody have a great football weekend. And hope your team wins.